So today is day 16 since James died. And it's the first day I've felt able to do anything like this. I'm sitting in the garden now. The sun's out. It's 6 o'clock in the evening. Remembering the days when I used to be able to sit out in the garden with James and have a nice glass of wine after work. But I've got the dogs with me, which is really nice. And I'm not crying, which is good. So I wanted to do this as just kind of a help for, obviously, we were trying to help people who were going through the cancer journey. And now that bit is over. This is like the bereavement journey that I perhaps wanted to document, and maybe it'll be helpful for somebody who's going through the same thing. So what I'd say first of all, even though James was ill for a long time and very poorly for the last 3-4 months, and especially the last month, it was very strange when he actually died, which was the way we wanted. I was with him. I stayed with him in the hospice for 2 nights, on the 2 days before he died. And I was just with him all the time, and I was able to talk to him and stroke his hand and kiss him and tell him I loved him and all the nice things. But then when he did die, which was gentle and peaceful, he just gradually stopped breathing. It was just a shock, which is, isn't that silly? I mean, isn't it silly that it's a shock when you've known it's coming for 5 years, and especially the last couple of months? But it was a shock. And so the first day I was just dazed and numb. And then the next 2 or 3 days was just, you just physically feel like you've been beaten up or hit by a train. It was just, everything ached, or my whole body ached. And obviously your heart aches, and it's just so painful, physically painful, which is just hard to deal with. And obviously, yeah, my eyes were leakier than James's legs were. And everything, just like every room you walk into, there's just something that, oh, it's making me cry now. It just reminds you of him. So everything, you know, I walk into the bathroom and his toothbrush is there and his aftershave, and oh, what an idiot. I smelled the aftershave. That was a big mistake. Don't do that. That's my first handy tip. And yeah, and just like now we got like a little coat rack by the front door, and all of his hats are on there. And it's just like, just everything you see just makes you sad. But after the first week, I pulled myself together a bit, and I was able to go on to talk and speak to Mike Graham about our little fundraiser for the hospice. And that did me a bit of good, I think, because it makes you kind of get up and get dressed. And the other thing is, I mean, the dogs have been such a blessing. I know that when we got the dogs, and I thought, oh, James, why you picked Radley? He's a bit of a nightmare. And he is a bit of a nightmare. And I am going to now focus on training him a bit. But they've been such a comfort to me, because they're there in the morning, and you have to get up. You have to get up and let them out for a wee, and they need a little bit of breakfast. And they're just so cuddly that it's lovely. Oh, hang on, one wants to come up in my lap. Come on then, have you? Oops. Still causing havoc. Yeah, they've been a bit soggy the first week. You were a little bit soggy dogs, weren't you? Because I did probably cry on you a bit. But there's still a little warm presence that is, you know, a little warm living presence there to give you a cuddle and snuggle up to at night and on the sofa watching TV and stuff, which is really good. I think I'm luckier than a lot of people who are widowed, because anytime I want to hear James's voice or see him, there's so much stuff out there, and you know, on YouTube and things, that I have that, as which is a blessing. But at the moment, I don't feel that able to watch stuff, because it just is too upsetting. But I think in time, that will be a real comfort and a blessing that I have that perhaps a lot of people don't. So my other handy tip is, apart from don't smell the aftershave, I couldn't find my phone. And so I thought, oh, I've got James's phone here. I'll just ring myself, forgetting that I had like a special ringtone for him. And then when I heard that, it was like, oh, that's James ringing me, but it's not James ringing me. So yeah, don't ring yourself from your partner's phone if you've got a special ringtone, unless you want to cry. So practically, I've been busy with like admin stuff. So you have to go and get the death certificate, which I did that. I did on the way there. There was a bit of a divert. I'm fine down country lanes. I like country lanes much better than motorways and things for driving because I'm not the best of drivers. I freely admit it. I'm fine going forward, but parking and reversing are not my thing. And I got diverted down a really tiny one single track lane, which would normally be fine. But then there was a big lorry coming the other way and I was on my way to go and get the death certificate. And I just thought, oh, I don't even know where to start with this. And normally James would be in the car with me and he would say, like, you know, okay, like, turn the wheel that way and then you'll get into that space. And so I just got out of the car in the middle of that and I left my door open, went up to the lorry driver and I just said, look, I'm really, really sorry. I'm not the best of drivers and my husband just died 2 days ago and I'm on my way to collect the death certificate. And so I don't even know what I need to do. I'm going to go backwards, but just tell me what I need to do. And please don't be cross with me if I'm really rubbish. And he was such a sweet guy. He just like, no, that's fine. You need to just go back and see that bit. Just pull in there and I'll be able to squeeze past. And I was like, really? You could squeeze past in that? Looked too narrow to me. I just don't have the spatial awareness thing. But I did what he said and he got past perfectly fine. And he gave me a lovely wave and a smile. So that was good because I was really scared he was going to shout at me and then I probably would have had to cry and then go home and not go and get the desk to after. So the other thing was like, oh, James's names. He was born Michael Whale, but then when he went to get his equity card, he changed it to James Whale. And then, but not officially ever, he just did it, which is just so James, just so maverick. And I guess in the 70s, somehow that worked. I don't know how. So his passport says James Michael Whale. His HMRC records say Michael James Whale. And so I had to like put every different connotation I could think of on the death certificate. So that's something to bear in mind. If you have a husband like mine who had many aliases, which are all just the same name, but just in whatever mood he felt in putting them way around on the day, then make sure you put all of them because you can put as many as you like. I didn't know that. You can put as many names as you like on there. And then whatever utility or whatever you have to deal with, it's all covered. The death certificate has got all the names on there. So I think that's all of my handy tips. And then, yeah, I'm going to do the applying for probate thing myself because in my line of working, because this is quite a straightforward one, it's doable. I've done it a couple of times before. So that's my next job, but also arranging funerals. It's been quite time consuming, quite sad, but also quite cathartic. Writing my little eulogy has had me in tears for a lot of the time, but I've come up with something that I think says what I want to say. And now I just have to hope that on the day I can actually say it and I won't just be a snivelling mess. Probably will just be a snivelling mess. And unfortunately, I'm not a pretty crier, not one of these people that just has the little single diamond tear rolling down the cheek. I'm just snot and redness blubbering. But if that happens, I'm going to have a stand-in. One of my daughters will step in for me and read what I wanted to say. But I'm going to give it a go. James would want me to give it a go, so I'm going to give it a go. So that's where I am so far. That's my tale of the whale on their own. The lonely whale tale, bereavement guide, day 16. We'll see how it goes. I have felt a little bit better every day, a little less tears every day, a little less things triggering me off into crying every day. And since Monday this week, I have been back at work because no matter how sad you are, the bills still need paying. So Back at work, and that's it for now. My first bereavement podcast. I hope this will be of use to some people. And if not, let me know and I won't do any more. But yeah, lots of love to all of you out there going through the same thing. It's very difficult. The other thing I found is that so many people are really, really kind and want to come and see you, but I've really just wanted to be mainly on my own. I find that's just me and the dogs is where I want to be at the moment. But that will probably change over time too. Anyway, there we go. Signing off for now.